God is good
all the time.
What a privilege it is to be here with you this morning. As Jeff said, about July, I took over the family ministries at Southeastern California Conference. And before then, I was doing summer camp. Some of your kids may have come up to PSR. And I was doing children's ministry. And when they said that the person was retiring for family ministry, I said, can I have it? Can I have it? And the reason being is this. I began to understand that to really fully minister to children, you have to minister to the what? The family. And so I'm excited today to share a little bit about families. Maybe some of the things I talk about may be a little bit sensitive. But I hope that you hear it from God's voice and God's heart as we talk about the state of our family and what God wants for our families and how to keep our family connected. With that in mind, all the little boys and girls have a piece of paper like this, right? And so, obviously, because the theme is family, I'm going to be mentioning families a lot. Mentioned it 5 times already. So every time I mention the word family, I want you to mark it down. And at the end, if you tell me how many times I mentioned the word family, come up to me, give me your piece of paper, and I'll have a simple little prize for you for just tagging along. Oh, and if there isn't any, can you raise your hand? If you need a piece of paper, Pastor Jeff over there will be more than happy to give you. Oh, there's one over there, Pastor Jeff. Piece of paper and a pencil over there. Before we do that, and there's several kids over there. But before we begin, could we just once again just ask God to be in this place, and we bow our heads as we pray. Father God, we come before your presence because we are here not to listen to this man, but to listen to you. And so I ask, Father, that you speak in this man and you speak through this man, and that the words they hear may be transformed into the words you want them to hear. So, God, today I ask that you forgive the sins of this man, make it so that he will be a vessel fit to share your message. Bless us today, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to start today with a quote from my Auntie Ellen. And if you guys don't know Auntie Ellen, she goes by the name of Ellen White, but I'm Filipino, and everybody is Auntie Ellen to me. So if you know Filipinos, everyone's an auntie and an uncle. And so Auntie Ellen says this. This is the first work of Christians is to be united in where? The family. Then the work is to extend to their neighbors nigh and afar off. Those who have received light are to let the light shine forth in clear rays. Their words, fragrant with the love of Christ, are to be a savor of life unto life. If our first work as Christians is to be in the family, then is it any wonder that the first place that Satan wants to attack is where? In the family. Because he knows that the family is the vehicle upon which God originally intended for his gospel to be shared. And if he could break the family, then maybe he could also break the message. And so I asked us today, what is the state of the family in the world, in the United States, in California? The reality is this. Statistics just tell us. This is an old statistic in a sense. It goes from 1940 to 2000. I actually looked up the most recent one through 2010, 2012. And, you know, it was exactly the same, so it hasn't changed. That pretty much What do you see there? That for every two marriages, one of them go through what? Divorce. One of them is broken up. So I just kind of want to demonstrate this a little bit, since there's a lot of kids here. I need about 10 volunteers, maybe about ages 8 through 15. Pathfinder, can I get 10 quick volunteers? We won't take a long time, but can I get 10 volunteers to come up really quick? Just 10. Oh, don't all be shy. I know there's a lot of people here. Don't let me call you out. So 10 and above. Come on up. Ready? And I'm going to count. 5, 4. There you go. What? Oh, well, that's okay. We'll even use the young ones. 1, 2. Come on up. Come on up. Come on. 3. Over here. Over. 4. Wait. Hold on. I want to make sure there's an even number of males and females, because I must be. Okay. We're going to have you stand right there. So I got 1, 2. I got 1, 2, 3 females. So I'm going to need 3 more males right there. 4. I'm going to need 2 more males. There you go. 5. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Look at that. And you know what? I'm going to have you guys stand right up here on top. And this is kind of cool, because this is a politically correct set up here. I've got my Asian. I've got my Black American, I've got my Anglo, I got my Hispanic. Kind of cool, huh? And I've got an equal number of male and female. So can I see the hands of the parents of these kids? There you go. Blessings to you. I've got to ask this question. Those of you who raise your hand, can I see your hands? Which of you, 20 years from now, are going to want your kids to have a divorced marriage? Who should we pick here? Maybe have a seat. This one? Yeah, just have a seat. You're too cute. No one will divorce you. Maybe this one? Any, many, miny, more. Got to be at least one Asian that's going to go. YESLCS, and you are it. One, two, three. Oh, you know, we're going every other, so you might as well have a seat while you're at it. 3, 4. And statistically, yeah, let's go. He's going, I'm not sitting down. Yes, you are. You're done. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of the 10 marriage are going to end up in divorce. But you know what's worse? We live in California. And the statistics in California says that's not only 50%, it's about what? 60 to 70%. That means out of these, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, you win. You're going down. And I'll leave it at that. Is it any wonder that God says this? You ask why. It is because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. And then God uses a word, a language, that he rarely uses in the Bible, but he uses it in this text and context. And I almost hate to show it, but I will. It says, I hate what? Divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. Before I go any further, let me go on record here. This sermon is not about divorce. We understand that life happens. We get that. We know that circumstances go beyond our control and things happen. But is it possible that one of the reasons why God says, I hate divorce, is because he knows that ultimately, what does divorce do? Breaks up our what? Our family. And ultimately, who does it hurt? The children. Today, I want you to know something. I'm going to read one more text, and then I'm going to say a little message for you who's sitting down here, okay? It's interesting that... we know that statistics. Children of divorced parents have a what? Higher tendency to be divorced. We know that. Why? And here's the verse to prove it. Because in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, it's an interesting passage. It says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Because we do know that sin passes on. For example, I have compulsive behaviors. I didn't say this in the other sermon, but when I was young, I love to gamble. I'm a gambleholic. I would bet on anything. At 16, I would go to Vegas because I was tall, I can get away with it, played the card table, and I thought I was pretty good. And I began to realize that I had that problem because someone ahead of me had compulsive behaviors. And now as a father, I have to make a choice. Do I continue that cycle or do I choose to end the cycle with me? And so, kids sitting down, guess what? Your life in the future does not have to end in what? In divorce. You can choose to end the cycle with what? With you. Repeat after me. I choose to end the cycle of divorce with me. And even we here, if we're going through our second marriage or third marriage, and I get that. I have a sister who's been married 4 times. And I'm going like, when will it end, sis? God believes in new beginnings. Amen? God does believe in new beginnings. And even if you're on your second or third, you can say, you know what? In this marriage, I choose to end the cycle. I choose to end the cycle. Because God believes in new beginnings. Why do I talk about this? It's because I believe that one of the things that we as families have to do is to fight to remain connected as a family. We need to remain connected as a family. What does that mean? What are the things that break up that family connectedness? Now, I got one more thing, so stick around. Don't go anywhere. Okay? Okay, that's all right. Okay, so... You broke my heart. No, I'm just kidding. What can Satan use to slowly break down family connections? Television and cable. Right. Guilty. But here's statistics. The TV is on in the home average of 7 hours a day, TV or cable? And you go, not mine. How long are you on the computer? Video games. Computer or social media. I'm old school. I haven't yet succumbed to Facebook. If I figured if someone wants to connect with me, they can call me, see me, hang out with me, have lunch with me. It's funny, but our young people, I mean, my daughter, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, you know, all that good stuff that they do nowadays. But I work with youth in my church, and one time I noticed this, there's like about 12 of them. They were all in the same room, right? All 12 of them in a circle in the same room, and not a single one was talking to each other. They were all on their phones. They were all wanting to remain connected with people outside the room. And I'm going like, hey, guys, it's okay to talk to each other within the room. In fact, that reminded me of a funny story. Don't ever do this, okay? Only a trained professional can do this. I was sitting in a restaurant. My wife and I were having dinner one time. And I noticed that there was this couple sitting across each other. And for half an hour, short of when they ordered the rest, they didn't talk to each other. They were on their phone the whole time. Whole time. And so as I was leaving the restaurant, got my check paid and everything, I came over to the table and I said to the guy, to the table, it's okay to talk to each other. And I ran. I didn't quite run, but they started to crack up because they got it. They were on a date or on maybe a date or a sitting thing, but they didn't remain connected. Our work. You know, one thing about being a pastor, there is no boundary. I go home and work follows me 24/7. And I have to make a choice. I have to make a choice. Anything that robs us from our making connections with our family breaks family connectedness. So here's some statistics that are kind of sad. American Family Council, before I reveal this, we said that the average TV is on in the house about how long? About 7 hours a day. The average kid watches 4 hours of TV a day. They took a survey of 5-year-old kids. How many would prefer to spend time with dad or watch TV? Right? 49 or 50% of the kids said they prefer to watch TV. And then the question lies, how much time does parents intentionally spend with their kids a week? Took a survey. And you know what the survey came out? 38.5 minutes. A week. So you break that up in a day, that comes out to what? About 5.5 minutes a day. Because you know that you could be in the same home and not remain connected. So here's, let me kind of give an example of how this looks like. What does the timeline of a child look like? So we're gonna start over here. So I've got this piece of rope here, and each of this equals 1 hour. Not that, each of this equals 1 hour. So I'm gonna have you guys stand and right there, right, or spread across. So we're gonna start right over here. And I'm gonna have you hold the first piece. How about how many hours a day do you sleep, you think? About 7 or 8? 8 or 9? So we'll go with the average, 8 hours, right? So 8. So we're gonna start way over here. Follow me. So 8. So 1, 2, 3, four, five, six, seven, eight. So hold that one right there. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you do when you get out of bed in the morning?
Usually brush my teeth.
Very good. And then what else do you do?
I go eat breakfast.
Very good. And then what do you do? How about, do you go to school?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay, I just want to be sure. Okay, and about how many, up to when, what time do you start school?
At 8:45.
8:45, up to what time?
On Monday, it's 1:50.
I'm sorry I asked, I'm just kidding. So you go about 8:45, so about 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, about 6 hours a day? 8:45, yeah. About, I was rounding it off because I'm not very good in math. So about, let's say about six hours a day you go to school? Okay, so we're going to go six. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I'm going to have you there. What's your favorite subject, young man?
Science.
What's your least favorite subject?
Language.
Language. Oh, you're just such a boy. How many hours of homework do you do? You do? 3 hours? Good for you. I wish I did that when I was young. Maybe I'd be a doctor today instead of a pastor. Oops. No, I'm just kidding. 3 hours? So we're going to go two, because that's the average number of homework time that the kids do, right? 1, 2. And let me ask you this. We eat, don't we? What's your favorite food?
Pad Thai.
Pad Thai? Are you Thai? No, you're Indonesian? Filipino, and you like Pad Thai. Very good. My stepmom is Pad Thai. I just went to Thailand. And so but it takes about 3 hours of eating every day, right? Roughly 30, 45 minutes? Yeah, okay, so we're going to go 1, 2, 3, right over here, right? And then were you listening to the sermon a little bit earlier? About how many hours of TV does a kid watch a day?
Five.
About five, four or five, right? Yeah, so we're going to go, what's your favorite TV show? PBS Kids. Oh, that's cool. I enjoy that one. Yeah, I like. Good channel. Good channel. I'm glad you didn't say the Glee Club. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, now we come over here. This is your free time. Right here, you get to hold that one. What do you like to do on your free time?
Play outside.
Yeah, what's a good activity, player outside? What's your favorite game? Jump rope. Hey, this is perfect. This is the rope. And young man, you get to end the day. And you know what? If you're lucky, your parent spends this much time with you. That's the life of the average child. When you see it, it makes you go, wow. So let me ask you, who makes the most impact on your child? School? TV? And that's why remaining connected is so critical. Now, you guys see me afterwards. I got a little prize for you. But let's all, in the count of three, let's all give them one big hand. Ready? Here we go. One big hand. 1, 2, 3. Awesome. Good job, guys. You may be seated. It's all good. Good job, guys. Thank you. So with that in mind, let's talk about four simple things that I want to share with you on how to keep that family connection. Can we? First, the principle. An unhealthy family allows circumstances to dictate how much time to connect as a family. What kind of family? unhealthy. An unhealthy family simply allows life to happen, and if they're lucky, then they'll get some kind of connectedness. But a healthy family intentionally makes connections with their family. What's the key word? Intentional. And if you forget anything else in the sermon today, remember that one key word. A healthy family intentionally makes time to connect with their family. Intentional. It means you intentionally planned it. It means you intentionally put it in the calendar. It means you intentionally planned it ahead of time. Because if you don't plan it, it doesn't happen. So as a pastor, ahead of time, when I plan out my year, I block out ahead of time 2 weekends a month of which I will choose not to preach in other churches. And I will choose to spend time with my family. I have a 16-year-old daughter and a 25-year-old young man. And those are the weekends that we will worship together as a family because I don't want my daughter and kids to grow up saying, we never worshiped with Dad. He was so busy doing the Lord's work that we don't even know who he is. So I don't apologize when the church says, can you come preach next month? No. How about 6 to 8 months? And I don't apologize for that. Because I want to model what a healthy family looks like. If it's good enough for you, then it's got to be good enough for me. And so, you know, I know Pastor Sam's not here, but Pastor Jeff is here. When these guys need to get a little break and get away, you know what you do? Instead of saying, why were you not in church, Pastor? Maybe we need to say, Pastor, you need to get out of here every so often. Take some family time. Oh, I was hearing it was the amen. I was wondering about that, who that amen was. Take some family time. Do something together. Visit other places. Refresh yourself. That's why Deuteronomy 11 is so important. We read it so well this morning. It says here, imprint these words of mine in your hearts. Bind them as a sign on your hands. Let them be a symbol on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk or drive, when you lie down, and when you get up. It means when a child gets up and a child lies down, do they hear the words of Jesus? Praying with our kids? Making connections. I'd like to share with you, leave with you these last four things that I have found in my family that's been helpful in keeping that connection up. And I like acronyms, so the word is BOND, not James. BOND, B-O-N-D. And B is this. Thank you for laughing at my silly jokes. I appreciate that. The first is this. Be what? Intentional. Be intentional in making connections with your family. You know what I do with mine? I put it on my calendar. I create a date. I set it in because I'm a calendar guy. My life is run by full of meetings and full of places to go and full of. And so if I don't get it in my little calendar, it doesn't happen. Your life may not be as booked as mine, but we decided that for our family, Sundays now have become our family days, and Thursdays have become my wife and, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit, my wife and I's date time. Intentional family time. Oh, open it for everyone to get involved. When the kids were young, we used to take turns every week deciding what's going to happen as a family. When my little daughter was there, she liked playing the board games. When my wife does it, she likes doing puzzles and stuff like that. When Dad does it, it's always about eating out. It's always about the food, you know. We're going to go eat out here, you know. And my son, at that time, he like, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese. Let's go to John's Incredible Pizza kind of thing, you know. We do those kind of things. When everybody gets involved, everybody feels like this. And I know there's a lot of singles out here. And the reason why you still should listen to this sermon is because you need to understand that that's what you're going to need to do one day. to create a healthy family environment. Which leads me to the next one here. Nurture your marriage. I believe in this principle. Date your wife. It's more important to date your wife after the marriage than before the marriage. More important after than before. My wife and I were going to be hitting our 29th year wedding anniversary this coming December. I'm so blessed to have her in my life. But one of the things that we have done is weekly, we have taken the time to kind of go on a date. As husband and wife, we kind of dressed up. And I tell my youth group this, when you see Pastor Manny and Auntie Faye dressed up and in a restaurant or someplace, do not go by, do not say hello, do not say hi. We are not your pastor. We are on a break. We are dating, and do not disturb. And if Auntie Faye is wearing something like Auntie Faye's wearing that, it's not for your eyes. It's for Pastor Manny's eyes. Dating your wife. I'm torn, but I'm going to move, but this afternoon, we're going to be having a workshop on one of the most critical things. One of the beautiful things I get to do as a pastor is I get to do weddings. This summer, I got to do 4 of them. The first one was in Hawaii. They flew me in Hawaii. Somebody had to do it. So if you're thinking about getting married in Hawaii, I'll sacrifice. I'll sacrifice. Hook me up. The other one is Colorado and the other. But you know, the other one that's really sad for me too is when I get that phone call at night. And I hear on the other line, Pastor, can we see you? And I sit down with them. And you know what's interesting? I thought that there was a magic timeline upon which marriage is sealed and secured. 7 years? 25 years? Until I realized that the senior pastor I worked under, who was married for over 30 years, ended up separating. And it literally almost broke me away from ministry. I go, how could that be? And I began to realize that there is no magic number upon which a marriage is safe. Because love either grows or it starts to die. Love is an active word. And when something's not growing, it's probably dying. And husband's wife got to ask this question. Do you love your spouse more today, the same or less than the day you said I do? If you say, I love my spouse the same as the day I married her, then there's something wrong. Because love grows. And I can say, you know what? I'm so much more in love with my wife today than I did the day I got teary-eyed on the altar. I remember, sorry, going off track. I remember when I was lying in the hospital bed a year and a half ago because I was stage 4 cancer. And my wife was in my bedside 24, almost 24/7. She slept there on the sofa. And I said to her, honey, you know what? It's so uncomfortable to sleep there. You don't have to be there. You can go home. You don't have to be there. And she looked at me and she says, Manny, I know I don't have to be here. I want to be here. Praise God. And I begin to realize that her love for me and my love for her was so much stronger than the love I had that first day. In fact, the irony of it is I said, God, if I'm going to die, thank you that I'm going first. Because the thought of me having, I'm pretty selfish, the thought of me having to endure the pain of my wife dying, I just didn't want to do that. So God, take me first. But he chose differently. I'm still alive. And praise God, yeah. But love grows. And it doesn't grow by accident. You have to nurture it. And this afternoon, as we talk about that, we're going to go and we're going to talk about one area that I noticed that when couples have a problem, this is one area where they struggled, whether they've been married for 30 years or 3 years. And I am shocked that some couples have never learned this. And so if maybe you have a perfect marriage, but if you're like most of us, if you could kind of have a refresher, join us this afternoon at 2:30. And on a simple, oh yeah, we know that. But it's a good reminder. Finally, I'm not going to show the video because I'm long-winded enough as it is. We'll save that for this afternoon. This one will make you cry, but that's not a good thing because crying up here is no good. Just kidding. Last one, date your kids. My wife started to date my son and my daughter, and she comes up to me and she goes, Manny, you should date our kids. And I go, I date you already. And he goes, no, it's really good. Maybe you'll enjoy it. So I started to date them. And I was surprised how cool it was. You know what? So I would date my daughter. We'd get dressed up. We'd go eat out. You know, we'd take turns depending on what we want to do. We kind of have this one-on-one time. We do it. I don't do it weekly. Do it once a month kind of thing like this. And then my boy, we don't go on a date. That's not cool. Don't go on a date. Yeah. We have a GTO. You know what that stands for, right? No? Guys, time out. Yeah. So like a couple of weeks ago, we went to the Clipper game. Oh, it's a whole different story. I got to tell you that. But I'm a Clipper fan. I'm an LA fan. But yeah, we went from the very, you know, I saw this cheap Amazon tickets kind of thing. It was $15. Well, you get what you pay for, right? We were literally on the last row, on the last seat up on top. And my son goes, boy, how I wish we could be there closer, Dad. I go, yeah, but not for $15. And then I get a text from my classmate who was there, happens to be season ticket holder. She goes, Manny, where are you? He says, look up, be careful, your nose might bleed. He goes, I'm way up there. He goes, come down. Guess what? There's two seats right beside me, season ticket holder, right near the front. And go like, oh, wow, God's amazing. So we got to sit right near the front. Just amazing time. So we got a chance to have some guys time out together. I don't know why I'm telling you that. Oh, because maybe you look like my son kind of thing, you know? But anyway, just kidding. My son went to college. He was at Andrews University. And we've had some, you know, guys grow up and they get this thing. And so I thought my son and I probably kind of lost that connectedness. And then one day while he was in college, I get this phone call. Oh, it's Alexander, my son. Go, hello. It was, hi, Dad. And I said, hi, son. So do you need money? Well, he says, no, Dad. Just wanted to call and say I love you. And he goes, Dad, are you there? I don't know if I kind of fainted or something like this. I go, whoa, wow. Thanks, son. You're like, I don't know where that came from, but that was really neat. And then, you know, a few weeks later, a month later, you know, year, and he calls and he goes, hey, Dad, can I talk to you about something? But don't tell Mom. I love this thing when they start with don't tell Mom kind of thing. It was like, yeah, okay, no, you want me to keep secrets from Mom? Sure. Don't tell Mom, but can we talk about girls? And I'm going like, really? In my mind, right? I didn't say it on the phone. Because growing up, did you ever talk to your dad about girls? You did? Oh, wow. And I hear him say never. that's just something I didn't do. Dad, let's talk about girls. You know, I talked with my friends, talked to everything else. Never called my dad about girls. And, hey, Dad, I'm kind of thinking about this kind of thing. And I'm going like, how was I ever so blessed to have my son consider me a friend that he would talk to me about girls? I'm not a perfect father, not even a great father. But I believe that it's because we took the time to connect that he felt comfortable enough to do that. And so now let me put a little extra heavy guilt on us as fathers for just this one moment, because that's an easy thing for moms to do. Sometimes our teen daughters get older and we get uncomfortable. They get young ladies and they still want to act like kids. They want to sit on our laps, they want to hug and all that. But you know what? If you don't date your daughters, if you don't give them the affection that they're looking for, they're going to find it. If we don't show them what appropriate affections and appropriate dating, they're going to find it appropriately or inappropriately. And wouldn't it be better if we as fathers took our role and decide that we are going to date our daughters and show them what an appropriate dating is, so that when they do date, they understand what is appropriate and inappropriate, what a gentleman is like and what a man who is not a gentleman is like. That's our role. Because if they don't get our affection, I guarantee you, they're going to look for it somewhere else. And it works the same way, moms and sons. They are looking for female attention. And if you don't give your sons the appropriate affection, guess what? They're going to look for it somewhere else. And I know what it was when my mom, she passed away of cancer when I was a junior in high school. And as soon as she passed away from, you know what I found out? I had a girlfriend. After another, after another, after another. And I'm looking back and I realized, why was all of a sudden this need to have a girlfriend? Why? You figured it out. Because I was looking for female attention that I missed. So it's so critical for us to remain connected with our kids and in our marriage, open to each other and being intentional in what we do. Because when we are connected, then our kids begin to understand what it looks like when they get married. Let me say that again. Our kids begin to understand what it looks like when they get married. It's not what you say that's important. It's what you do. It's what you do. So today, I leave you this passage, this thought. Deuteronomy 11:26 says, "See, I am setting before you today blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God. I command you today by follow and turn away from the way that I command you today by following another God which you have not known." My prayer is we follow the plan that God has set for us. The intentional plan. And you know, and you say, intentional, how does that work? What do you think our Sabbath is? Isn't that God setting a what? A date time with us once a week? Isn't that what a Sabbath is? That was intentional from the day of the beginning. And what did Jesus do at the Garden of Eden? Came and visited with Adam and Eve. God has set up a plan for us to remain connectedness. And the reason why we're celebrating Easter today is, what did Jesus do? Jesus came from heaven to earth to bring back earth, humanity, and the heavens together on the cross. Amen. To bring us back together again. And so, yes, this may be Easter, but Easter is about family. Jesus loving and bringing back the families together so that you and I can spend eternity not in streets of gold, but with people that we love. I invite you to stand as we sing our closing song. Pastor Jeff, I forgot what it was.